Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died. And I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Yet even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, will live. And no one who lives and believes in me will ever die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she quickly rose and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still there where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with Mary in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that he would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this because of the crowd here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. the gospel of the Lord. The episode of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead is so rich that whole retreats like the one that's been done today for busy young adults here in New York can be preached upon it. The church gives it to us the Sunday before Palm Sunday, not only because it's meant to frame our preparation toward Holy Week, but even more simply, because it's what Jesus did right before he entered Jerusalem on a donkey. By it, Jesus was teaching his disciples 2,000 years ago and continues to teach us today invaluable lessons for our faith. Jesus said to his followers before heading to Bethany, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there so that you may believe." Jesus worked the miracle the way he did, from his initial delay to the words he chose, to his prayer to the Father, to his calling forth Lazarus on the fourth day, so that we may believe certain crucial truths that will help us not only better to appreciate this miracle, but grasp the great things Jesus will accomplish during Holy Week in Jerusalem and in our life. We want to focus on three of those truths. The first lesson Jesus communicates by the way he worked this miracle is that he's willing to die for each of his disciples. As soon as Jesus announced that he would go to Lazarus, the disciples exclaimed, "The Jews were just now trying to stone you and you're going there again." Later, when Jesus reiterated he was going, St. Thomas, who was one of the most realistic and probably pessimistic of the disciples, simply said, "Let us also go that we may die with him." They all recognized that Jesus was risking his life to go bring Lazarus back to life. We now know in hindsight what Jesus recognized in foresight, that their worst fears were about to come true. Jesus would be captured, tortured, and killed. Jesus would indeed give his life to restore Lazarus to life. But Jesus loved Lazarus enough to do it. Jesus would indeed give his life so that we might likewise live, saying a week later during the Last Supper, "No one has any greater love than to lay down his life for his friends." And that's what we're going to be marking in 2 weeks. The central truth that Jesus wants us to capture is that we are his friends too. And that out of love, he went up the mountain, not just to bring Lazarus back to life, but to give his life to restore each of us to life with him. Just as much as St. John tells us that Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus, and the crowd seeing him weeping at the tomb said, "Look at how much he loved him." So Jesus loves us just as personally and just as much. Right after he described that no one has any greater love than to lay down his life for his friends, he said, "You are my friends. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father." It's obvious that Jesus from a distance could have cured Lazarus and even brought him back to life. After all, he had worked several such miracles at a distance, like healing the centurion's son, the royal official's son, and the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman. By going up to work the miracle in person, however, Jesus was showing everyone that Lazarus was worth his life. In a similar way, God could have come up with another way to save us without Jesus leaving heaven, without his taking on our flesh, without his going up to Golgotha and being massacred on a cross. But he likewise wanted to show us that we were worth saving. The greatest source of our human dignity is that Jesus accounted our life more valuable than his own and was willing to take our place on death row to give his life for ours. If we could listen to the angels, seeing this love that Jesus has for each of us, we would hear them saying, "Look at how much he loved them." This great love is the first thing Jesus wanted us to believe in by this miracle. Second thing Jesus wanted to manifest was his power over death, so that we might have faith in what he said would happen to him after his death and what would happen to us after our death. Even though Jesus had already raised from the dead both the daughter of Jairus and the only son of the widow of Nain, he knew that his disciples would have a terribly difficult time maintaining hope after they would see him tortured, crucified, and buried in the tomb the following week. He wanted to give them a clear example that with God all things are possible, that with God there is never a truly hopeless situation. He wanted them to witness again that he is the Lord of life, the one sent to fulfill the prophecy we heard in today's first reading from Ezekiel, that God would open your graves and bring you up from your graves, breathing life back into dry bones. The Jews believed that a person's soul hovered around the body for 3 days after death. For Jesus to bring Lazarus back on the fourth day, when everyone knew that Lazarus was really, 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 really dead, was the greatest manifestation of Jesus' divine power. Well, Lazarus' resurrection was a resurrection backward, we could say, a resuscitation to an earthly life in which he would have to die again. Jesus' resurrection and our resurrection, which he hoped we would share, which he prophesied in action by working this miracle, would be a resurrection forward to a completely new state of life from which we would never die again. In raising Lazarus, Jesus manifested both his power and his desire to do this. And in raising him on the fourth day, he was also showing something else. He was indicating that he could also bring back to life all those who had been dead for far more than 4 days. All those holy patriarchs, Jews and righteous Gentiles, who had died even centuries before, all the way back to Adam and Eve, whose souls were then in Sheol. Just like Jesus was patient before going to raise Lazarus, so the Blessed Trinity was patient in waiting millennia before Jesus came into the world. But the same glorious result would take place. This is the second thing Jesus wanted us to believe in by this miracle in Bethany. The third and last thing he shows us is what resurrection and life really are. Very often we think of resurrection and life as concepts, as states, as events, or even as things. Jesus wants us to recognize that resurrection and life are, rather, a person, or more specifically, a relationship with a person. And that person is Christ himself. I am the resurrection and life, he tells us. To be risen from the dead, to be fully alive, means to be in a loving, living friendship with Jesus, who teaches us that resurrection and life are not meant to be deferred. Martha, in her dialogue with Jesus, showed that she believed in the resurrection in the last day. What happens after we die was doubtless something that Martha, Mary, and Lazarus would have asked Jesus when they had him over their house as a guest. And so she believed in the general resurrection at the end of time. But Jesus wanted her to realize that the resurrection life he had come from heaven to bring were supposed to be experienced in the present through a right relationship with Christ and the spirit he gives to our mortal bodies. St. Paul described this reality in the second reading. If Christ is in you, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit dwelling in you. Jesus not only wants us to experience his resurrection life eternally, he wants us to experience it now under a different modality than Lazarus did, but just as truly. He wants us to give the Holy Spirit full permission for him to raise our mortal bodies to the life of holiness. But for us to experience it, we not only need to change our understanding of resurrection and life from concepts to a personal relationship, but many of us will likewise have to change our understanding of Jesus And the Holy Spirit, He sends from a concept, from an historical figure, to a living, breathing, acting, loving Savior, present right now, seeking to raise us to the fullness of life. When Jesus asked Martha, "Do you believe this?" she didn't merely reply, "Yes, Lord." She gave us the grounds for her faith. She said, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." Because of her living faith in Jesus, because of her trust in Him, she committed herself to believing anything He would say, even if it seemed hard or impossible to believe. Because of her faith, Martha recognized that the resurrection and the life was standing before her, talking to her. Because of her faith, she would be raised from the dead by her faithful friendship with Jesus, even before her brother Lazarus would be liberated from the tomb. Jesus wants to give us that same resurrection now. But the question is how? How do we in this life encounter and befriend Jesus as Martha, Mary, and Lazarus did? How do we experience the resurrection of life in the present He wants to give us? The deepest answer is through prayer and the sacraments that Jesus created as the way par excellence for us to enter into His risen life and into a much deeper personal faith-filled relationship with Him. Through the sacraments, through prayer, Jesus leads us on the Passover, the Exodus, the journey from death to resurrection life. He does that in baptism, at the beginning of our Christian life. He does it in the sacrament of confession, where He restores our soul to its baptismal splendor. And He does it in the Holy Eucharist, in which we eat His risen body and drink His risen blood and have His risen life within us. The Eucharistic preface of this Mass summarizes for us the connection between the sacraments and the resurrection Christ wants to work in us through them. We'll pray later. For as true man, Jesus wept for Lazarus, his friend, and as eternal God, He raised him from the tomb, just as taking pity on the human race, He leads us by sacred mystery to new life. Those sacred mysteries referred to are the sacraments. And each of the sacraments is supposed to do in us what Christ did to Lazarus, and so, so very much more. Right after He told Martha that He is the resurrection and life, and that whoever lives and believes in Him, even though he dies, will live, Jesus asked her directly, "Do you believe this?" The same Jesus now turns to us and tells us the same truth. He reminds us of His great love for us that led Him to trade His life for ours. He recalls the great truths about the sacraments of resurrection, baptism, confession, the Eucharist, and He puts us on the spot to determine whether they will be a source of life for us or whether we will try to put those gifts and their giver to death. And so He asks us individually, as He asked Martha, "Do you believe this? Do you believe in my love? Do you believe in my promises about the resurrection of life? Do you believe in what I did to found the sacrament of confession to give you the joy of resurrection from the death of sin? Do you believe me when I tell you this is my body given for you? Do you trust me when I say this is the chalice of my blood poured out for you?" Then Jesus tells us, "Put your faith in me now. Come out of your tomb and live in friendship with me in this world, so that that friendship and the resurrection life communicated through that friendship will continue forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Come out.